Well, I was going to start a new series that we'll postpone for a week and felt really prompted, much to my consternation, to change things at the last minute to go a different direction. So today, being the special time that it is and of the year, I'm going to call this message Grateful Remembering. Grateful Remembering. Memorial Day, and not just the day proper, obviously, but beyond that, is a time for remembering those who have died, for sure. It's also a time that for opening the eyes and hearts of the living, and that would be, I think, all of us qualify here today. We remember those who have died so that we can remember how we are to live. So today, I'm going to intersperse, and we're going to go this way, but we're also going to go that way, okay? There are so many transferable principles that I feel compelled to speak about today. Now, if you're new here, you may not know that I am absolutely a flaming, passionate patriot. And I hope from wherever you are and your roots are that you feel the same, but I feel very strong that way, not ashamed of it one bit. I don't sidestep it. This is one of my favorite times of the year. Maybe it's because every year when I was a kid, like we were supposed to, we got out before Memorial Day. Can I get an amen on that? You know, now kids are so much smarter because they go 3 or 4 more days, right? Smithville or whoever you are, maybe. But it was like a spiritual experience getting out of school every year. But also, I loved it because this just ushered in just those long, dreamy summer days and the 4th of July. Just it meant family gatherings, celebrations, camps, all kinds of wonderful things that I enjoyed. And as you might expect by now, I took my Sunday Memorial Day tour around town, and I started to count flags, but thankfully, there were way too many, and I lost track in a hurry. I would have needed a calculator. Isn't that wonderful? And it took me about 20 minutes to get to church today because I was going up and down, and even roads I didn't travel on, almost all of them, I looked down, and I saw the flags waving proudly in the breeze at some of your homes and businesses and places. I particularly noted this morning as I drove, I particularly appreciated those businesses. Many of them were more local businesses that didn't have just have one flag, but they had a number of flags flying. That really meant a lot to me. And in our neighborhood, I think every home has a flag or two like we do, and we go through what is Rotary or whatever it is. But I would really encourage you, don't stop flying flags. I mean, our kids and our grands ought to know that that's a part of all this, and we're not ashamed of it. And I would encourage you to take part in that and proudly display the flags. But what I like is because all of those flags start appearing on this in this beautiful community on our way to Memorial Day. And when I see those flags unfurled, just like this morning, and by the way, have you seen the one at the fairgrounds? I don't know how big that is. I mean, wouldn't you love to have that flying over your house? I mean, that might make you a target or something. Who knows? But I just love it billowing in the breeze. Somebody took a picture of it and sent it to me. But when I see those flags unfurled like this morning, I gratefully remember the price of freedom that we cherish. Everyone cherishes the idea of freedom, even those that don't have it. I believe that's true. I believe that's true. So I have a playlist on Spotify or two of just patriotic songs. And one of my favorite is that there's this really countrified, hoedown version of Dixie. And I crank that up and go marching around where we live and make sure Dixie knows that I'm thinking of her. My wife's name is Dixie, by the way, if you didn't know. But this year, one of my favorites is, and if you haven't heard it, pull up and listen to the Bill Gaither vocal band. I think it's with Ernie, whatever, Signature Sound. But they have an American medley that I've been listening to. And I mean, it just knocks it out of the park. And I highly recommend it, highly recommend it. So I'm about doing things that help us remember. That's precisely, in my opinion, why we're able to gather in a public way like this and online within the sound of my voice, because we believe that every person, not just in America but around the globe, has the God-given right to be free. And of course, we know that whatever the outside circumstances are, that in the interior space, we can all know the freedom of Christ, right, through a relationship with Him, regardless of where we've been and where we are. But I want to call this again. I want us to think about it because this is so intentional. It's not accidental. It's not just spontaneous. It doesn't just happen. I'm going to call it again, grateful remembering. I want you to carry that with you. Grateful remembering. Grateful remembering. And I think, I'm not sure we're really grateful until we express it in some way. You know, well, I feel that way inside. Well, notify your face. I mean, activate yourself. Somebody told me this morning, they said, I'm tired. I said, well, it's okay to be tired at church, just don't be tired of church, okay? So some of you fall in that category today. Some of you are nodding your head, and I think you're agreeing with me, but you're really sleeping, and I know who you are. I know who you are. But I think someone, I don't know who said it, and I paraphrase it. I love this statement about this idea of grateful remembering. Someone has, I believe, accurately said, a lack of gratitude is really a sign of ingratitude. And ungrateful people are not fun people to be out around and hang out with. Would you agree with me? I want to read that again. A lack of gratitude is really a sign of ingratitude. So Memorial Day is definitely an American unique, so to speak, to our nation. And I believe it, and I think it's true, because when we focus on all things military, there's really a unity that comes about, even in our divided culture. I mean, we honor service people and their families. We're into that, so that's a day of unity. And I believe that unity should draw us to that grateful remembering, that grateful recall of those who have paid the ultimate price for our freedom, willing to lay down their lives for all of us. That's why we're here today. And I hope we never take that for granted. I'll probably say that a few times in this message. I hope we never take that for granted, because it's not like this anywhere, everywhere. There are many places it's not like that, this. More than a holiday. And by the way, I know what we say, and I don't mean to embarrass anybody, but some have already agreed with me. Happy Memorial Day. That's not really proper. We need to come up with some other kind of greeting there. It's like saying to somebody, hey, happy funeral or whatever. No. It's not. It's a solemn occasion. And didn't you appreciate how they put together the beginning and the pomp and circumstance that was so due those who have honored us with their lives of service? But they're all worth worshiping, and I should say remembering, and causing us to point to our Heavenly Father whom we worship alone. So I remind you that a memorial is not just an American thing or a world thing. It's a Bible thing. It's a God thing. And the Bible's filled. I mean, do word searches on memorials about God said it. And what were those memorials about? Well, they weren't idols, because God said, no other gods, only me. And a lot of times, we got to be careful because memorials can become idols. We don't want that. Memorials make horrible idols. No, that's not the way it should be. But listen, a memorial is a symbol that stands for something significant, and it helps us remember so that we do not forget. So what I'm trying to get at today is this: not forgetting. It's a choice we make, not saying, oh, I forgot. No, I'm choosing to remember. What's it going to take for you to remember? It's going to take symbols. It's going to take reminders, because we know the meaning. And not only for us, but we need to pass it on. And the Bible says we need to talk about that to those who are following in our tracks, so to speak. That's a biblical principle. The reason they don't know the truth, though, younger was coming up, because we're not telling the story. We're not intentionally remembering. Could it mean that we're not really grateful, that we're really taking so many things for granted? I'm going to tell you, the things we take for granted are the things that get stolen right out from under us. Be careful. And so Memorial Day weekend is about remembering. Remembering. And I'm going to say this, and I want you to carry this thought with you. Freedom is an expensive gift that generates gratitude. Agreed? Let me say it again. Freedom is an expensive gift that generates gratitude, and I want to talk about those three things briefly. So it's very expensive. How expensive? It requires sacrifice. And I'll direct you to God's word, which is John 15, verse 13, a couple of verses there. Listen to this. Talk about expensive. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Who said that? Jesus. And he was about to do it. He was giving everybody a heads up, but most people missed it. I want to read it again. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. What, Pastor, you're reading that? You talking works? You talking about earning your salvation? No, that's not what God's word is saying. Jesus speaking, he's saying, loving me compels you to do what I command, but it's love-based, it's not law-driven. Are you with me on that? So be clear. And then it says in verse 17 that I pulled up, this is my command, not a suggestion, not this would be a good idea. This is my command that you love each other. And you know what that implies for all of us? Not just them, but we need to live lives of sacrifice. And it's not me first, but it's God and others. How many of you know that's the way to live? That's that palms up living where we receive and we give what we have received freely, we freely give, and we live palms up, poured out lives every chance we get. And then we're open to the Holy Spirit prompts, and he gives us ideas where we can speak a word. I've heard great reports today about things that have happened, prayers that have been prayed spontaneously with somebody that didn't even know, and they were spot on. The Holy Spirit has caused us to do those things, to inspire acts of generosity that don't point to us. He must increase, we must decrease. Agreed? So that's where we are. No greater love than this. Talk about expensive. God gave his only son. Most of us have heard John 3:16. He loved us so much that he gave Jesus so that none would perish, but everyone would have eternal life. And then on top of that, he gives us a free choice because we can reject it or we can receive it. We can say yes to Jesus or we can say no to Jesus, but the offer is extended nonetheless. Wow. No greater love. Jesus speaking. And don't you love it? Because he spoke it, then he did it. A lot of us are better speaking it than doing it. But Jesus said it, and he did it. He laid his life down. So this investment began from God's great love and compassion. He set the standard of love so high. Sacrifice and love, I've got news for you, are synonymous. Isn't that true? I've talked to grieving parents today, and they're struggling because they can't fix and they can't save and they can't turn around a kid, but their child is still that child, and sacrifice and love go together. You never quit doing that, do you? But the ultimate example is before us. So my goal today is that we'll carry that with us and we'll engage intentionally in grateful remembering and express it, tell it. If we're gonna exercise and engage grateful remembering, then there are some things. That's another word for never forget. And I think about that theme. I know it was referred to in the Holocaust and times past and things in history, but where that really became prevalent in the United States was when 9/11 happened. Remember, never forget, never forget, never forget. And I came across a story, and forgive me, when you've been someplace 20 some years, I might have told you a story 10 years ago or whatever, but you don't remember it anyway. Yeah. So I'm gonna tell you this one, I love it. Before it ever touched the water, the Navy's amphibious assault ship USS New York made history. Listen to this, and I didn't know it before I read the story. It was built with 24 tons of scrap steel from the former World Trade Centers. The vessel was built in a shipyard in New Orleans, weathering and surviving the first assault there. Do you know what it was? Called Hurricane Katrina, but it came through the storm as it was pounded and as that storm devastated much of the coast. But the USS New York was the fifth in a new class of warships designed for missions that include special operations against terrorists. It carries a crew of 360 sailors and 700 combat-ready Marines to be delivered ashore by helicopters and assault craft. Tons of steel from the World Trade Center were melted down in a foundry in Louisiana to cast the ship's bow section. Tons just for the bow section. When it was actually poured into the molds there on September 9, 2003, rough and tough, you can visualize it, steel workers treated it with total reverence. I mean, it was like it was a holy place. In fact, the Navy Captain Kevin Wensing that was there said, it was definitely a spiritual moment. Junior Chavers, Foundry Operations Manager, recalled when the steel first arrived, he said that he went over and he laid his hand on it. And when he did, he said, literally, the hairs stood up on the back of his neck. He must not have had a good barber because they'd cut off those hairs. The things that come to my mind. He said, it had a big meaning for all of us. They knocked us down. They can't keep us down. We're coming back. The ship's motto was determined to be this simple but appropriate phrase, never forget. That's what grateful remembering is all about, that we would never forget. And in this light, There's no greater love than to make a sacrifice and lay down one's life. Never. We can't afford to forget the past. That's why we've got to be intentional. That's why we got to learn the lessons from it, and we got to remember as we move forward. We choose to remember so that we will never forget. I'm telling you what, we are so prone to forget things we should remember. Isn't that true? We must be intentional. Never forget the extreme sacrifice made to provide freedom this way and that way. The freedoms we now enjoy, may we never take them for granted. And you know, when I think of that verse that I read from the lips of Jesus and heart of Jesus, I mean, here's the point. What's more precious than life? We believe that the gift of life is totally precious, don't we? From conception all the way through to when God says enough and we draw our first breath in heaven. That's what we believe. What's more precious than life? Life's in the blood, as we know. We must never forget as well in this solemn season the loss of life and the grieving of those who have sacrificed and say, well, Pastor, it was a long time ago. How many of you know if you're a parent or grandparent, it doesn't matter when it happened. Those who have sacrificed along the way, children and grandchildren. I thought as Nate read his tribute, I mean, those are real people he was talking about, that Lincoln was talking about. It wasn't somebody else, somebody far away. It was their kids. It was people they knew and loved. Grandchildren, siblings, spouses, parents, whatever, for the cause of freedom, because freedom always requires sacrifice. Are you with me? So we have a physical application and we have a spiritual application as well. As a youth pastor, and I loved it for 16 years. Hey, look at me, teens. I'm not on your phone, so look at me, okay? Look at me. How would you like to have had me for a youth pastor? Chasing you around a school, embarrassing you, all the above. Yeah. No, I was cool back then. It doesn't matter now because I am mature, okay? I'm mature. But one of the things I really wanted to do was I wanted to instill in the youth that was from. I had hundreds and hundreds of youth groups, three top-notch youth groups in places I was privileged to serve. I loved them. I loved them. My oldest teens might be now topping 60. Can you believe that? Definitely. But one of the things we did, we took summer tours, and I remember going to Washington, D.C., especially before 9/11, and you know, things happened, and it wasn't nearly as restrictive, and we could move around. But I remember going to those sites and thinking about war memorials, and I'm they're again symbols, they're memorials that help us to remember the great sacrifice. But I thought about it some years ago. Dixie and I were in Hawaii, and one of our favorite stops was to visit the Pearl Harbor. And man, it was almost like church when we were at the USS Arizona, that memorial. I mean, it was quiet. There were tons of people there. And they tell us that there's a lot of visitors. I think about 1,000, less than 1,000 a day. But they said, but that number on Memorial Day weekend, like this weekend, it swells to thousands and thousands go. Why? Because they're remembering. And now, future generations, they may have somebody, you know, somebody who died and was lying entombed in that ship, whatever the case may be. And then in Washington, D.C., on an average day, they say that 300 people visit the Vietnam Memorial, 3,000, I should say. Has anybody ever seen the wall, the Vietnam Memorial wall? Oh, my lands. You talk about if your neck is shaved, the hairs on your arms will stand up. I can tell you, it is unbelievable. And going back to the youth group, I love to take tours of New York City, Florida, all points. We went to Washington, D.C. more than once. And I'll never forget one of the privileges I had. I don't know, I had maybe 70 to 100 high schoolers with me to be responsible for. I mean, oh, my land. Do you wonder why I have white hair? That's why, gray hair. But I'll never forget, we went to the Vietnam Memorial, of course, that mall, and you know all the monuments that are there. And that was just like weeks, if not days, and I didn't know it at the time, after it opened. And it was at twilight of all things. So you can imagine the lights were just coming up. And here are all these teens, rambunctious, I mean, sweaty and all that. But they somehow knew it was hallowed ground, because there at the Vietnam Wall, for example, you would see veterans who had limbs missing, and I'm not exaggerating, many. And it was the first time they'd seen it. And they had their head on the wall weeping and crying. There were families tracing names with pencils, all kinds of meaningful things. And I was so proud of all of my teens, because they knew it was holy ground, and they were quiet and respectful. And I guarantee if you could find them this day, they would say that that was a highlight of their life. And I want them to know those things. We got to talk about it. The Bible says, again, that's what we do. And I would just remind you, too, and I, in my preparation for this message, I came across, and I'm sorry I don't have the details, but there is another a war memorial that's being constructed as we speak that I think is supposed to be open in 25 or 26. Somebody can look that up sometime. And I think it's going to be about the Gulf, all those kind of things, Desert Storm, Shield, and those kind of things. That's under construction. That's what I read. But also, tomorrow at 2:00, nationally televised, is going to be a Memorial Day parade. You know, that didn't happen for years, but they brought that back, and they said it's one of the finest parades. So I want to encourage you to find a station and tune into that. Our kids, our grands, they need to watch things like that, and we need to be willing to explain things to them. So just a couple of things I would mention there to you. So to protect and preserve the freedoms that we take for granted many times, it's going to have to be intentional. We're going to have to be remembering the past and keep talking about it. We're choosing to remember, and that is, again, grateful remembering. So it's expensive. It requires sacrifice. The second thing is it's a gift. It's a gift. I love this from Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Don't believe I have the scripture posted, but listen. God saved you by his grace. He did what? Saved you. By his grace, when you believed. That's not just a quick flippant prayer. Hey, I agree. No, it's a heart thing. That's where you believe. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. Again, what it is, it's a gift from God. What a gift. Freedom. What a gift. What a gift. What a gift. Before we say yes to Jesus, whether you know it or not, or like it or not, you're saying no to Jesus. If you can say yes, you can say no. We never lose our free will. That's the choice. God gives us freedom of choice. But before we say yes to Jesus, we're in bondage to sin, whether we know it or not. Usually others know it before we know it, maybe. We're slaves to sin. In other words, we're addicted to sinning. It's like we can't get enough. We can't stop no matter what. No matter what sin promises, no matter how glamorous and glittering it may be, it cannot deliver, will not deliver, has never delivered anything good. Sin never liberates it. It imprisons us. And sometimes we leave one thing behind only to go on to something else. It's like the prisoner that I told you about before. He was in a camp, and I don't know what he did, but he was in a camp, prison camp in Australia, and it kind of reminded me of the old Hogan's Heroes show. He wanted to sneak out of the camp, and so he hid under the hood. Back in those days, there was room for the engine and a person. Does anybody remember those days? Like my grandma's 55 Chevy, you could literally climb in the engine compartment and work on it. Does anybody know what I'm talking about, other than the first three rows right here? Well, anyway, he climbed in there, made a successful exit, and it went on and on. He was hot, dirty, smelly, sweaty. You can imagine what it looked like, smelled like. And once it pulled in, the next stop, he got out, snuck in, tried to blend in, only to find out that he was merely transferred to another prison yard just a few miles down the road. Boy, isn't that a picture of life? We tend to trade one to the other. What we look for freedom, what we look to for freedom many times just leads us to another prison many times of our own making, of our own choosing, of our own choices. True freedom is only found in Jesus. And we're never totally free no matter what we think until Christ comes into our lives. Does anybody remember that? When you used to be able to go where you wanted to go, do what you wanted to do, you thought you were free only till you ended up in prison, not literally but figuratively, and you knew that you weren't free. But you thought you were, and you thought at the time when you really sold out and said yes to Jesus, yes to your sins, and yes to surrender, you thought you'd lose your freedoms. And how have you found that there's freedom in Christ that you could have never known from the inside out? You remember those days. Jesus shed blood still sets us free from sin, which sin's power. When we say yes to it, we don't have to live under that bondage, and that freedom is eternal. It's been provided to anyone, to all who will receive it. Now, as Jesus followers beyond the cross, beyond the empty grave, as Jesus lovers and followers, we have even more reason to truly celebrate because we can always find joy because joy isn't circumstantial. Joy comes from the inside out. Freedom is inside out, not outside in, and we have that freedom in Christ through a relationship with him, and we never get over it. That's an encounter we never get over. So as we participate in a day and a weekend to remember those who died for freedom, I think it's altogether fitting and proper to coin a phrase that we should remember the one, capital O-N-E, who initiated freedom, the one who died to set us free from spiritual tyranny. Jesus fought our war, fought our battle for us on our behalf that we might have freedom in his holy name. That's what we were singing about. That's how you can get excited about a song like Amen that we just sang about. Galatians 5:1 echoes that theme. It is for freedom. He wants us to be free, that Christ set us free. He did it. We cannot free ourselves. It's a hopeless downward spiral, but he freed us. Jesus died to free us from sin, from the law, from death, from eternal separation from God. But the only way to experience that genuine freedom is through Jesus and the sacrifice he made on the cross. Another symbol of what happened there that we remember gratefully. By comparison, anything and everything else is just a grand illusion of freedom. He said, always remember my death. And I remembered growing up, I could see my dad doing communion, the communion tables, all. What did it say on the front? This do in remembrance of me. Jesus said, remember my death. Don't ever forget. Because my death makes your life possible. How many of you know that today? My death makes your life possible, just like heroes have made our lives possible because of being willing to lay down their lives. But this is in an eternal sense. We determine by the way we choose to live the value of his death and sacrifice. We have the privilege and responsibility to live for God because he died for us. He lives for us. Love and sacrifice, I'll say again, go hand in hand. And finally, gratitude. So it's expensive, this gift is. And that leads us to gratitude. Thus the title, Grateful Remembering. When I think about things to be grateful for, I think about passages such as this, like Deuteronomy 6:18. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight, and all will go well with you. Then you will enter and occupy the good land the Lord swore to give to your ancestors. I want to tell you, a lot of people say that's Old Testament. A lot of people want to live grace, 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 but they want to claim promises like these. I'm going to tell you, I want to live in it all from cover to cover. How about you? I claim those promises because we've been grafted in. Okay, we've been grafted in. And then Deuteronomy 6:24, and the Lord our God commanded, there's not a suggestion, commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear him so he can continue to bless us. You see, that's what motivates his heart. He's not trying to be hard on us. He's trying to help us and preserve our lives as he has done to this day. I mean, to God be the glory, great things he has done, great things he is doing. I claim those promises as one grafted in. How about you? But then we find these cautionary words, if you will. Deuteronomy 4:7-9, for what great nation has a God as near to them as the Lord your God is near to us whenever we call on him? This is Moses speaking, writing. And what great nation has decrees and regulations as righteous and as fair as this body of instructions that I am giving you today? But watch out, there it is, verse 9. Watch out, be careful never to forget what you yourselves have seen. It's possible to forget. We are so prone to forget. Do not let these memories escape from your mind as long as you live, and be sure, to pass them on to your children and grandchildren. So if they don't get the baton, it's probably because we haven't passed it. We need to pass the baton on to those that are coming behind us. And then I read in Deuteronomy 8, same theme. It's about gratefulness, really. When you have eaten your fill, in other words, another says, when you're satisfied, be sure to praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. You didn't do it on your own. He did it. But that is the time. I mean, enjoying the benefits and the bounties, that's a prime time for many people forget God. In other words, verse 11, but that is a time to be careful. There it is again. Beware that in your plenty, you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands. Not his law commands, his love-driven commands, because he wants to bless us. Regulations and decrees that I'm giving you today, verse 12. For when you have become full and prosperous and have built fine homes to live in, and when your flocks and herds have become very large and your silver and gold have multiplied along with everything else, be careful. Some of you say, well, I can't relate that verse because I don't have flocks and herds. Well, whatever you do, your goats or cats or dogs or whatever they may be careful Do not become, verse 14, proud at that time, the time of God's blessing and bounty, and forget the Lord your God who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. And you can say, well, that's not for me. I wasn't in the land of Egypt. Well, I'm going to tell you, your land can be almost anywhere, but he's the one that still rescues you from it. That's what land, because all land belongs to God. Agreed? Another story called Grateful. On a battlefield in France, true story, in 1918, that would be World War I. Sergeant Major Robert S. McCormick was instrumental in saving the life of his commanding officer. His name was Major Harry Parkin. So here's what happened. Talk about gratefulness expressed. Every year thereafter, for at least 25 years documented, on the anniversary of that occasion, former Major Harry Parkin wrote a letter to express his gratitude, because he said, I feel it, but I want to express it to the man who had saved his life. A man beneath his rank who saved his life. In 1943, in the 25th edition of those annual letters, Mr. Parkin wrote, I once again want to express to you, I like that, express to you my appreciation for another year of life, which I would not ordinarily have enjoyed had it not been for you and the price you were willing to pay to save my life. I want you to know that I am grateful. Hey, if you're grateful, you're going to express it. You're going to share it. Yeah. I recently had a friend of mine from India call me. He's there. Was there working with the NBA. And he just said, you know, small talk. And he said, hey, how you doing? He said, the reason I'm calling today is I just was challenged by something I read or heard. And they encouraged us to reach out to the top 10 influences of my life. And he said, you were in my top 10. And I just want to thank you for your contribution to my life. Well, I didn't know that was going to happen. I didn't need that, but I want to tell you, it was a blessing to hear it. There have been people that have shared stories even between services today, and it's not that I live for that kind of approval, but how many of you know it's a blessing when somebody expresses thankfulness? Would you agree? And I think we're way short on that. I think we're way short on that with God. We pray, but how many times do we thank? You know what I'm saying? I mean, if he answers a prayer, we ought to be talking about it. We ought to be shouting about it. We ought to be sharing about it every single chance we get. I think it was Deb. I think she sent me an email she gets from a guy named Jeff Henderson. He's a prolific writer and a servant. He said there's this top 10 list. He said, we all ought to come with this top 10. He said, even if they're dead, still speak it or text it or write it or do something, and you will feel better for having expressed that gratefulness. So I'm going to say it again. Well, I just want to ask you, are you truly a grateful person? Are you filled with gratitude? Well, I would say I'm not, we're not, you're not really, unless you are learning and finding ways to express it. How many of you know that can change a family? It can change a workplace environment. How many of you know expressing genuine gratefulness can make a huge difference? Just to come alongside somebody and say, well done, well done, well done. That sounds like what we talk about all the time. Everything rises and falls on relationships this way and that way. It really does matter. I like that. I think that's practical. Grateful, 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 remembering. Well, I'm rounding the corner, I really am. We determine the value of the price paid for freedom by the way that we cherish it, the way we remember it, by the way we choose to live. I alluded to this, but we'll say again, you can't put a price on a human life. Every life is priceless, and that's true. But I would say this, that on the other hand, we do many times in our own lives determine the value of the price paid by others for our freedom by how we choose to live. We decide. You decide. Well, I'm trying to tell you today that remembering is a real good thing, and it's not a good idea, it's a God idea. Do a word search in the Bible, Old Testament, New, about remember. It's all over the place. We can never afford to forget the past. Listen. Forgetting is how people drift spiritually and how nations drift morally. We must always remember so that we will never forget. One of my favorite storytellers growing up was Paul Harvey. Has anybody in the world heard of Paul Harvey? Oh, my lands. You guys, you look at me right here in these first rows. You are missing out on so much. You need to go back and Google. I mean, Paul Harvey, Good Day. Remember that? What stories he would tell, true to life. And you've heard this one, but I want to read it again. I want to read it again. It's called Never Forget Gratitude. And that's really what got me thinking about the theme of this message today. Grateful remembering. Thank you, he titled it. Nearly every Friday night of the world, an old man strolled along the beach to his favorite pier with a bucket of shrimp in hand. He would walk that long pier to the very end, and then he'd just look out across the water, just seemingly lost in thought. And wouldn't you know, before long, dozens of shrieking seagulls, I mean, I should have perfected that bird sound to wake some of you up, shrieking seagulls, say that a few times, gathered around him looking warily for tasty morsels of shrimp that would come from his hand. Upon their arrival, the old man began to reach in his bucket and throw out one fresh shrimp at a time, one at a time, and they would pounce on it as they do. And as he fed them over and over for the whole bucket, every time he pitched a shrimp, he would say, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Almost without fail, one brave seagull would finally flutter and land on his weather-beaten old military hat that he'd been wearing for years. The seagulls stayed with him as he leaned on that rail and seemed to be again lost deep in thoughts, there in body, but somewhere else in heart and mind, to another time and another place. Then as he made his way back to the beach side of the pier, they would fly away as the old man headed back up the beach towards home. Now, to an observer who didn't know his history, he may have seen or been just that, a crazy old man mumbling to himself and to birds, but they'd never think that if they knew the truth, if they knew, as Paul would say, the rest of the story. This old man's name was Eddie Rickenbacker. You ought to Google that. You see, he was a famous World War II pilot who flew multiple missions across, successful missions across the Pacific. But on one of his last missions, Eddie and his 7-member crew were shot down. Miraculously, they managed to crawl out of their plane into a life raft, and they floated for days fighting exposure to elements and sharks, but mostly hunger. By the end of the 8th day, their rations ran out. They needed a miracle, so that afternoon they held hands and offered a simple prayer along with a devotional asking God for a miracle, and after that they settled into a maybe restless nap or sleep, and at that time Eddie himself felt something land on his head, and lo and behold, it was a seagull. He managed to grab it, and that poor bird, he would wring its neck, and lunch was served. Shortly, there was a meager meal provided for all of them, a few bites, but nonetheless, it gave them strength. And then they used the intestines, sorry to be gross, for bait. With it, they caught fish, and this gave them more food and more bait, which they were able to continue their cycle of survival, and this enabled them to endure the rigors of the seas until they were found and rescued. Eddie Rickenbacker lived many years beyond this ordeal. But he never forgot the sacrifice of that first life-saving seagull. He never stopped expressing gratitude. Thank you. That's why nearly every Friday night of the world, you could find Eddie at the end of the pier with a bucket full of shrimp and a heart full of gratitude. Wow. No freedom without great sacrifice. And that'll never change. I just want to remind you on this special day, not for a second, I want you to get it straight. America at its best provides freedom. It's a wonderful place to live, a wonderful way of life, but it is not a way to eternal life. Do you know that? Jesus is still the only way. I've alluded to that. I've said that clearly. Often our own efforts to gain spiritual freedom by our own and steps to peace with God leave us more rejected and dejected than ever and in another prison of our own making, because we cannot save ourselves. We can't fix ourselves. We can't save ourselves. We can't pull ourselves up spiritually by our own bootstraps. Only Jesus can do that. And that will only happen when we say yes. I confess, I repent, I turn from my sin, I turn to you, and I believe in you. I'm going to live. I'm giving all of my days to you. When it comes to a relationship with God, salvation and freedom comes from what Jesus has done for us, not what we might do for him, not what we can do for ourselves. We don't earn God's love. We've been invited to experience it, to enjoy it, to embrace it, to live in that freedom by saying yes from deep in our hearts. Amen. So on this day, not just in a thankful sense for heroes proved in liberating strife, as the song goes, but that we would make some choice and say, you know what, I'm woefully short on being grateful, and I need to practice some grateful remembering. Maybe there's some people, again, that you need to express and say, you're on my top 10, and I want to thank you for your investment in my life. Maybe it's a coach. Maybe it's a teacher. I don't know what it could be. It could be a father, a grandparent, whatever, but would you take steps to do it? I'm going to invite you to stand. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to close with a song. Father, thank you for your help today. Thank you for all the blessings that are ours. We never want to take them for granted. Most of all, the greatest sacrifice that made it possible for us to have a love relationship with you, a love-driven relationship, not a law-driven, a love-driven relationship with you that changes the entire perspective, because we're not just living for here. We know this is not all there is. What's ahead is even better than the best we could ever know and experience here, and so we rest in that hope. That's hope. Thank you for your stubborn love that always pursues us and never lets go. You're knocking at our heart's door, and I pray that we wouldn't just say yes in our head, but it would also travel the 18 inches that head and heart would combine, and we would say yes, Jesus, live in me. I want to live for you. May this be a special time as we come and go and gather with friends and families, and may we gratefully remember how blessed we are, choosing by our actions to never forget, by expressing gratitude regularly. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you lead us?